The Happy God by Johann Grobler. It was Willie who started first, I'm sure. We sat in the second or third row from the front. The Reverend was preaching earnestly, but Willie and I were trying our best not to laugh out loud. What for? I can't remember. Maybe it was someone in the row in front of us who fell asleep. We knew full well you weren't allowed to laugh in church. It is sacred territory. But if you're full of laughter, and you know you may not laugh, and you see your friend's shoulders shaking as he shuts his mouth with one hand, then it's hilarious. So for I don't know how long, we sniggered on the pew. And when the service came to its end and we walked towards the exit, suddenly a firm hand appeared from the side, gripping my upper arm. "Why were you laughing in church?" hissed an old gray lady with angry eyes. "I laughed? No, I didn't laugh," I lied, "in the church to make it worse. Watch it," and she let me go. I'm not sure if the Reverend saw us, but I'm sure God did. He doesn't miss anything. I believed Willie and I were in big trouble. You don't play around with him. You might still get away with Jesus. He had more understanding of what it was like to be human. But God is like the school principal, strict, stern, and stiff, with no time for funniness. Much laughter leads to weeping, I heard so many times from older people and teachers. Subconsciously, I assumed that this truth probably came from the Bible as well. The view that God is harsh and angry comes from my childhood. I don't think it was ever taught explicitly, but it was more like an underlying mental picture woven into our culture. After all, the first man messed up everything in the Garden of Eden, and since then, man has disappointed God time after time. God had reason to wipe out all mankind with one sweep. They killed his son. Satan has deceived people by and large, and virtually the whole world is godless and wicked. The vast majority are on their way to hell. Yes, God has reason to be angry and frustrated. This was my thinking for many years. From my mid-20s, God gradually lifted the veil for me, and I could see that there was a side of God that I did not know. In 1 Timothy 1:11, we read in most English translations, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God." The Greek word translated blessed is makarios. Vine's expository dictionary describes it as blessedness, an ascription of blessing rather than a state. It is related to makarizo, to pronounce happy. The same Greek word occurs in what is known as the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3, and Luke 6, 20, where it is translated in some versions as happy. For example, happy are you who are poor, Matthew 5, 3. In Acts 26, 2, Paul says, "I think myself happy," same Greek word, "King Agrippa." In 1 Corinthians 7:40, "But she is happier," same Greek word, "if she remains as she is." The only English translations I know of that correctly translate the passage with the happy God are the Concordant Version and the Rotherham's Emphasized Bible. Why do the translators hesitate to describe God as a happy God? I can only surmise that it's because the concept of a happy God goes against their preconceived perception of him. God is a happy God. Why wouldn't he be? Everything happens exactly according to his will. He is in total control of everything. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure," Isaiah 46:10. Yes, but you might ask, what about the verse in Genesis 6 which says that God was sorry for making man? For us to understand more about God, God will sometimes reveal himself in human terms. God, who is invisible spirit, will have himself described as if he had hands and feet. This is a type of figure of speech known as condescension. So in human terms, from man's perspective, God seems sorry that he created human beings. But the fact is, it is not so. Hebrews 2, 5-8. If the verse in Genesis 6 is to be taken literally, it would mean that God was mistaken. Man would then have turned out much worse than he foresaw. However, it cannot be, because God is God and he can see everything ahead because he is the author and in total control of what is happening. What about the wrath of God, which we read about in the Bible, for example, in Revelation? You might wonder how God can be happy when he is angry. God's wrath arises from his love for man. It is his indignation over sin and the pain it brings. In any case, it is only temporary, and it does not make him an unhappy God, because even that is part of his own counsel. Joy is one of the fruits of God's Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Jesus is the embodiment and visible expression of God's character, Colossians 1:15 and Hebrews 1:3. And although he knew sorrow, he was a cheerful man who mixed easily with sinners, Mark 2:15-16 and Luke 7:34. When he told his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full," John 15:11, they did not question him or give him a puzzled look. If everything that exists comes from God, Romans 11:36 and 1 Corinthians 8:6, then this includes humor, laughter, and the enjoyment of good things. God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. To everything there is a season, a time to weep and a time to laugh, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 4. In God's presence there is no morbidity or despondency, but rather excitement and praise. David, a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13:14, wrote about what it is like to be in God's presence. "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore," Psalm 16:11. If God is happy, we can be happy too. Knowing that he manages everything and has it under control, that he is steering everything toward a perfect, magnificent world without end, should fill us with joy and praise. The words of Nehemiah to Israel speak also to us. "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength," Nehemiah 8:10.